Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Joshua chapter 2. I'm going to read that chapter. It's almost poetic in just the way it is laid out. And then following that, I've got some observations to make about the salvation of Rahab that we're going to read about in the story and compare that to our salvation. Rahab of the Old Testament, she was a heathen. Rahab was a harlot. Rahab was a liar. But in the end, Rahab was saved. And I want you to understand, we've got our own sins to deal with. We've got problems too. Sometimes people think, well, I don't know how God could save me. Well, you can be. What we need to do is let's look at this story of the salvation of Rahab and then compare that to our salvation we read about in the New Testament. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came two men hither in the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are coming to thee, which are entered into thine house, for there come to search out all of the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the setting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which when she had laid in order upon the roof, and the men pursued after the way unto Jordan, unto the fords, and as soon as they which were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them on the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, and you are come out of Egypt to see what you did, and to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Zion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the name of the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days till the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be on him. And if thou utter this our business, then we'll be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days, till the pursuers were returned. And the pursuer sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came unto Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that beheld them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now look over at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. Here's how the story ends. What happens is they came and they surrounded that city of Jericho. They marched around it in silence for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around it in silence 6 times, and then the seventh time, and then they turned and blew the trumpets and shouted, and those walls came down and they took that city. But then here's what happened in verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, for she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let's talk about the salvation of Rahab. And under number one, I want you to write the name Joshua. Joshua. It says plainly, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot. And so we're going to include him in this. But number two, get back up and write the word faith. Rahab was saved by faith. Now the way we know that is because she is mentioned in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with thieves. So we can write the word faith. Rahab was saved by Joshua, but Rahab was saved by faith. Now, write the word repentance. Rahab was saved by repentance. A lot of people don't understand what repentance is. Sometimes people think, well, if I'm sorry for my sin, then I'm repentant. Well, maybe you are and maybe you're not. Sorrow leads to repentance. And then a change of life follows repentance. But repentance itself is a change that takes place in the heart. It's a turning of the heart. Didn't Rahab say in the text we read in Joshua 2 and verse 11, our hearts did melt within us when we heard of what God had done with the children of Israel. She'd had a change of heart. So we write up repentance beside that. Now, number four, something involved in Rahab's salvation was her confession. She didn't just have a faith and just repent. She explained that and she used her lips to confess that and let that be known. In that same verse of Joshua 2:11, where it says, our hearts did melt within us, here's what she confessed. Rahab said that the Lord your God is God in heaven and God in earth beneath. So number four, write the word confession. Confession. And then Rahab was saved by works. You remember what we read in Joshua 6 and verse 24, that Joshua saved Rahab? It says, because she had received the spies. And then we read about that in the book of James, in the text that was read this morning, James 2:25. It says, by works, Rahab was justified. It says, Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she received the spies and sent them out another way. And so Rahab was saved by works. Write the word works up there. Because it plainly says in James chapter 2 and verse 25, Rahab was justified by works. Now there's another one. She was saved by a scarlet cord hanging in the window. You remember that in Joshua 2 and verse 18, where they said, you hang the scarlet cord in the window. It's a cord she'd let them down by. And you know what scarlet is? That particular color of red, that cord, hanging in the window. And then when they would come up to the walls, they would see, now that's where Rahab and her family is, and that's where they would go to rescue her. So she was saved by the scarlet cord. Now let me ask you this. Just think about this. What was she doing with the scarlet cord anyway? You know, there are symbols that go way back, and here she is a harlot. And that may well have been part of the advertisement of her occupation. If so, then that is a sign of shame, isn't it? The scarlet cord hanging in the window. And yet, that very sign of shame became part of her salvation. So right up there under 6, a scarlet thread or scarlet cord. And then finally, I want you to notice in the text in Joshua 2 and verse 19, Rahab and her household were saved because they stayed in the house. Did you notice particularly in verse 19 that they said, now if they go out of the house and get out in the street, their blood be on their own head. That's their own problem. If you're going to be saved, Rahab, if you want your family saved, get in the house and you stay in the house. Of course, there's practical reason. That way we're going to know where you are. And that's the ones we're going to identify, those in the house with the scarlet cord. If you leave the house, we're not going to worry about that. That's going to be your problem, your blood. We're going to slay all those outside the house. And so she was saved because she stayed in the house. Let's compare that, if we can use that as an analogy, to some things that the New Testament tells us about our salvation. And the first word I want you to put up there in regard with our salvation is the name Jesus. Jesus is called in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, the captain of our salvation. I can't help but think of Joshua when I read that. And really I should. The word Joshua is in the English language, spelt the way and pronounced the way we do, because that's how it comes out of the Hebrew language. You've got the Hebrew word translated into English, it comes out in Joshua. You take that same name, and you take it from the Hebrew, and then run it through the Greek, and then put it into English, and that same name comes out Jesus. The name Joshua and the name Jesus are the same name, just one coming out of the Hebrew, one coming out of the Greek. They both mean Jehovah, our salvation. And so, we're saved by Jesus, the captain of our salvation. That's an analogy there I want you to draw between that and the salvation of Rahab. Now, we're saved by faith, right? Faith up there. The Bible's still telling us about the importance of believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we're saved by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we also are saved by faith. Now, we're saved by repentance. So write repentance up there. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when the men said to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first word out of Peter's mouth was repent. Repent! And every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. He said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So we're saved by repentance. Something else. We're saved by confession. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Confession is the word to write. It says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word confession literally means, if you want to get down to the literal meaning of the word, it means to say the same thing as. That's what confession means. And so what confession here in this regard means to say and to speak, to explain the faith that you have in your heart. That's what Rahab did. We know that your God is a true God, the God that made heaven and earth and all that in them is. Well, the confession that we make is the confession of our faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We make it with our lips. And so we speak that before men so that men might hear that. And that is part of our salvation. So we're saved by confession. We're saved by works. Now, some people don't like this idea of being saved by works. I tell you what, these works do not earn or merit our salvation. But there are works of obedience that we must do that doesn't make us worthy to be saved. But yet it's part of God's plan that we will obey that. anyone that thinks, a lot of time the objection to baptism, when Peter said repent, he also said be baptized. People object to baptism as part of the plan of salvation. Say, well, I'm not going to be saved by works. Well, I tell you what, you got to look at 1 Peter 3:21, where it says, baptism doth now also save us. That's not preacher talk. That's Bible talk. That's not what the preacher says. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth now also save us. It doesn't mean that when you're baptized now, you're so good that God's obligated to save you. No, no, no. You're saved by the grace of God and by His mercy. But He bestows that grace upon you and lets you have the benefits of that when you obey Him in baptism. Now, Rahab was saved by works, justified by works, and James talking about our salvation, comparing it to that. And so you can write up the word obedience there. Would you write the word works? Works will be fine. But it's works of obedience. That's what it is. Works of obedience by which we are saved. But then also, we're saved by the crimson blood. So if you wrote scarlet thread, you can write crimson blood. And I like to think of a connection between the scarlet cord and the crimson blood. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We sing that song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. If you can see that scarlet cord hanging out that window, can't you see that crimson blood dripping off our Savior, staining that cross and the ground around it as that blood flowed down that cross? I just think there's got to be a connection in imagery between the scarlet thread and the crimson blood. Like that scarlet thread was a symbol of shame, so also a crucifixion on a cross was a symbol of shame. It was a shameful way to die. Now I want you to look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was a shameful thing, to die on the cross. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's an awful way to die, but it's not only awful and cruel and hard, it is a shameful way to die. Jesus endured that shame for us. And we're reading Galatians chapter 4, or chapter 6 and verse 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That symbol of shame with Christ on that cross becomes a symbol of glory with Christ on that cross, because it was there that He paid the penalty for our sin so that we might be saved. Then, just like those folks wanted to be saved when Joshua took that city, they had to stay in the house. They couldn't go in the house and say, well, that's good enough. Now I'm going to leave and go back into the city. No, no, no. You stay in the house. And you need to stay in the church. You come to Christ and you're baptized into Christ. God's added you to His church. Now you need to stay with it. You need to be faithful. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote it to those who were in Christ and those who were faithful in Christ Jesus, and the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians tells us that the church is the body of Christ. But then it also tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 23 that He's the Savior of the body. If you want to be saved, you need to stay with the body, because He's going to save the body. And so just like they had to stay in the house, so we need to stay in the church. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 7, abide in Me. And He said in verse 6, you can't bear fruit if you abide not in Me. But in verse 7, he that abideth not in Me is cast forth as a branch and cast into the fire. And so we come to Christ for salvation, and then we remain in Christ that we might be saved. Remain in the church. Just like they had to stay in the house, stay in the church. Now, three closing thoughts to conclude this study of Rahab. One of them is this. Rahab's a heathen. Rahab's a harlot. Rahab's a liar. But she wasn't saved because she was a heathen. She wasn't saved because she was a harlot. She wasn't saved because she was a liar. She was saved from those things. But she was saved, and we can be saved. And it just shows what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14. The grace of God that is exceeding abundant with faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Second point. There's a lot of folks in Jericho that were a lot better off than Rahab, and they were lost. And there's a lot of people in Jesus' day that thought they were living mighty good that were not going to be saved. They were too proud to repent. Jesus was talking about them in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32. He said to those proud Pharisees that were so self-righteous, He said, "Publicans and harlots will enter the kingdom of heaven before you." We've got to realize that we're in sin and we're in need of God and we can be saved. But if we're too proud, then those sinners that do realize that will get in before we will. So publicans and harlots enter the kingdom of heaven for you. One other thing, and then I'm going to bring this to a close. Rahab is later in a very interesting list in the New Testament in the very first chapter. Matthew chapter 1. It starts listing the genealogy of Christ. And Rahab is in that genealogy. She married one of the Israelites and had a son that 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 came up with Joseph, came down to Christ. It'd be something, wouldn't it, to have your name in that list? When Paul's talking about those commending the church in the book of Romans, and there was your name right there, my fellow worker, and named your name, right? Wouldn't that be something to see your name in the Bible? Well, you're not going to get your name in the Bible. I would like to think that some of you all, if you'd been living in that day, your name would have been there. But you weren't, and so it can't be there. But your name can be in the book of life. And that's the place where I want my name. Not as one of those that are in the genealogy of Christ, but I want my name listed up there as one of those heirs of Christ. An heir of God and an heir of Christ in the book of life. That's where your name can be written. Just as Rahab was saved and her name wound up being listed in the genealogy of Christ, so also in an allegory, use that as allegory, you can understand. You can be saved, have your name written in the book of life as an heir of Christ.